Chapter 52. The art being then familiar to me, I used to think that I should like to play a Chinese enchanter, and to have that apparatus placed at my disposal for the purpose by a beneficent country. I still think that I should rather like to try the effect of writing a book in it. Its retirement is complete, and to go gliding to and fro among the stacks of timber would be a convenient kind of traveling in foreign countries among the forests of North America, the sodden Honduras swamps, the dark pine woods, the Norwegian frosts, and the tropical heats, rainy seasons, and thunderstorms. The costly store of timber is stacked and stowed away in sequestered places, with the pervading avoidance of flourisher effect. It makes as little of itself as possible, and calls to no one, come and look at me. ... and yet it is picked out from the trees of the world, picked out for length, picked out for breadth, picked out for straightness, picked out for crookedness, chosen with an eye to every need of ship and boat. Strangely twisted pieces lie about, precious in the sight of shipwrights. Sauntering through these groves, I come upon an open glade, where workmen are examining some timber recently delivered. Quite a pastoral scene, with a background of river and windmill. And no more like war than the American states are at present like an union. Sauntering among the rope-making, I am spun into a state of blissful indolence, wherein my rope of life seems to be so untwisted by the process as that I can see back to very early days indeed, when my bad dreams they were frightful, though my more mature understanding has never made out why were of an interminable sort of rope-making, with long-minute filaments for strands, which, when they were spun home together close to my eyes, occasioned screaming. Next, I walk among the quiet lofts of stores of sails, spars, rigging, ship's boats, determined to believe that somebody in authority wears a girdle and bends beneath the weight of a massive bunch of keys, and that, when such a thing is wanted, he comes telling his keys like Bluebeard, and opens such a door. Impassive as the long lofts look, let the electric battery send down the word, and the shutters and doors shall fly open, and such a fleet of armed ships, under steam and under sail, shall burst forth as will charge the old Medway, where the Mary Stuart let the Dutch come, while his not-so-merry sailors starved in the streets with something worth looking at to carry to the sea. Thus I idle round to the Medway again, where it is now flood-tide. And I find the river evincing a strong solicitude to force a way into the dry dock, where Achilles is waited on by the 1,200 bangers, with intent to bear the whole away before they are ready. To the last, the yard puts a quiet face upon it, for I make my way to the gates through a little quiet grove of trees, shading the quaintest of Dutch landing places, where the leaf-speckled shadow of a shipwright just passing away at the further end might be the shadow of Russian Peter himself. So, the doors of the great patent safe at last close upon me, and I take boat again. Somehow, thinking as the oars dip, of Braggart Pistol and his brood, and of the quiet monsters of the yard, with their we don't particularly want to do it, but if it must be done. ... Scrunch. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.